Hi everyone. Today's guest is Ariane. She's a scholar, an engineer, an advocate, strategist, but also founder and CEO of Revamp. Thank you again, Ariane, for being on. I want to ask how you're doing and what are you doing nowadays?
Right now, I work in finance at a Fortune 100 company. I'm doing data engineering, but also a lot of financial analysis, P&L statements, and just finding ways to drive the company's revenue, which has been a new space for me, but still familiar with what I've been doing. So, super exciting space.
How exciting. And how did you get into it?
So, here's the tea. I honestly was not expecting to work in finance. It was just like, funny enough, I was growing up never a numbers person. I'm like, I hate math, don't want to do science, not my thing. Then I got to college. I majored in history, but also double minored in statistics and economics, which is what a turn of events, right? And the way that it happened, so I have a pretty interesting career path because I started in community college. I went to Bunker Hill Community College, which is a small college in Boston. And I was just like, okay, I have to transfer to a university that's fairly large and will, accommodate for my learning, in a financial sense. So I ended up transferring to the University of Virginia. And at that point, I was like, oh my God, my life is going to be on pause because I was working full time while being a student in community college. I worked at Accenture. I was a data engineer. And that's where I really, learned how to master SQL, R, Python, all that good stuff. So imagine I'm like working and going to school full time, literally being an adult. I was like 21, 22. Then I had to transfer to school and I'm like, I'm freaking out. I don't know what I'm going to do. Then, funny enough, God just always has a way. As soon as I got to UVA, literally, I started school at the end of August. 2 weeks later, I get a message from a recruiter at my current company. And she's like, hey, we're having this diversity recruiting event. Would love for you to check it out. It's nothing formal, nothing crazy. And I was like, okay, I really wasn't married to it because at the time I was like, no, I want to go for the big hitters in consulting because Accenture is a consulting company. I wanted to go work at BCG or McKinsey or Bain. And I had already started interviews and conversations with those companies, which had me panicking. But then my current employer was like, you can explore different avenues, whatever the case may be. And I picked finance because I knew that I was going to minor. And I was like, oh, who knows? I'm not, whatever. Like, it'll be just something for fun. Well, long story short, I got an internship. The internship turned into a full-time offer literally a week and a half in, which I wasn't supposed to find out till the end of my internship. And then I graduated UVA and now I'm working full time in finance.
That's amazing. I love that you started from, I'm not a numbers person, I'm not a math person, and then you chose that with a double minor. Like, that's extremely hard, and I can already see the work that you've put in to finally get to where you are. Do you feel that you've reached where you've wanted to be, or did you ever have this goal in mind? Like, I want to be at a finance company. And was there any selection of choice on university, on the double minor? Like, how did that influence you in your choice?
So that's a great question. So when I started working at Accenture, I had, well, one, I taught myself how to code. I was like, I remember I watched, I forget the name of the show, but it was on Netflix. I don't know if you remember, but it was like exposing the truth of the dark web or whatever. But I was like, let me look into coding. And I remember I started with like a free coding boot camp. And then I was like, okay, I'm just going to teach myself, taught myself. And when I tell you that I'm literally blessed and God always like vests his mercy onto me, I mean that because a month and a half later, after I finished the boot camp and like self-teaching myself while still being in school, mind you, I got a message from a recruiter on LinkedIn. Mind you, I was also doing Revamped. So I was Revamped, teaching myself how to code, going to school. A recruiter from Accenture was like, hey, we have a role. Would you want to explore? And it was like an entry level data engineer. And I was like,
wow.
Okay, I guess. And then it just fell on my lap and I took it from there. So I really enjoyed what I was doing with the data engineering type of, you know, work. It was super fun. I worked with some pretty prominent companies, just due to the type of clients Accenture attracts. And then I was like, wait, I probably don't hate numbers. It's maybe just the way that traditional school taught me to hate numbers. So I was, when I was applying to transfer, I highlighted that in my application that I wanted to, initially, I thought I wanted to major in public policy, which, long story short, didn't end up working out. I hated public policy, so I switched to history, but I did want to stick to the core essence of double minoring in statistics and economics, because I feel like statistics, well, data's around us all over, and my strong background in stats paired with the type of econ work that I was doing, paired with data engineering, I was like, why not? So that was my line of thinking. Now, when it came to the selection of schools, I'll be frankly honest. I started in community college, not because I wanted to. I remember I graduated like top 10% of my high school class, and I thought I was going to go to, at the time, the University of Massachusetts at Amherst on a full ride. But turns out they made a mistake in my financial aid, and I would have had to pay $47,000 out of pocket for 4 years. I was like,
whoa.
No, seriously, I'm an immigrant. My mom's always like, oh, girl, figure it out. Like, I'm not going to pay for your school. My mom always told me that. And I was like, okay, I guess I just have to find a scholarship and be smart. In high school, I was like, if I'm smart, somebody will pay. That was my line of thinking. Then I got hit with the reality of what I thought was going to happen didn't end up happening how I wanted to, which was like, honestly, a blessing in disguise, because I was working, going to school, all of that. Then when it came time to transfer, the issue that was preventing me from getting financial aid was no longer an issue. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be petty and I'm going to go bigger and harder. And I want the top of the top. I want the best of the best. So I had schools like Cornell, Georgetown, Vanderbilt. I ended up literally getting into almost every school that I applied to. But funny twist to that, at first, I only got rejected from a couple of schools. I got rejected to UPenn, Duke, and Northwestern. And that all happened in one day, which was crazy. Like, I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to go to college. Like, my mom is probably going to want me to go back to Dominican Republic. I'm a waste. So I felt horrible. Then the next day, I get an email from the University of Virginia, which is my alma mater. And they were like, you're in. And I was like, okay, I don't even care anymore. I'm just going to pay my deposit. So I don't even know if I got financial aid at this point. And I just went in blind. I was like, let me pay this deposit. I remember paying like $2,000 out of pocket to secure my seat. And it was, at that point, I was like, it's too late. I'm already in. The next day, I get into Vanderbilt, Cornell, UCLA, all of these schools. I'm like, damn, do I lose my money or do I just roll with this? And then UVA calls me that same day. They're like, we just sent your financial aid package. And I'm looking at my financial aid package and I'm like, wait, I don't have to pay anything. Like, this is a full ride. Mind you, full ride with a major in public policy at the time, but still with my double minor as an out-of-state student. And out-of-state tuition at UVA is the ticket is high. It's like $87,000. I was like, oh my God, God came through again. And I was blessed. I honestly, to be, I don't regret saying this, being petty and using revenge is what fueled me and got me to UVA. And at these top universities, because I was like, it is what it is. It's time to get even.
That's amazing. You know, something I admired about what you said is if I'm smart, somebody's going to pay. And something that I always see you post about and really preach about is the student loans and how much people owe today, not knowing that they have the advantage of choosing, of applying to scholarships, of just like you said, it's not even being petty. I think like using yourself to an advantage, because I think a lot of people don't realize, I mean, we're young, you know, you're young, you're applying to schools. And just like you, like there's a lot of other people out there that are immigrants or a child of immigrants, and they don't understand even how to apply for school and these things. So that's amazing. I think it's truly a blessing in disguise when these things really happen to ourselves.
100%. And, you know, I've learned my time at the time, my dream school was like UPenn. I don't even remember. Now looking back, I don't remember why, but that whole journey really taught me that life isn't happening to you. It's happening for you. So everything that you think is working against you, it's actually adding to the bigger picture. And I honestly couldn't fathom being in debt, or at least, you know, a grandiose type of debt. I'm going to be pursuing law school and my PhD, and that'll all be covered. But that's because I found a way to work around it. Now, at the undergraduate level, I couldn't imagine that either. I remember seeing one of my friends, who she at the time was a high school friend. She couldn't get financial aid because she was undocumented. And I told her, I'm like, you know, either go to community college and have that covered for you, or, you know, explore other options. And she was like, I don't want to go to community college. Like, that's not my thing. Her ego was just letting her lead. And she actually ended up putting her parents through like over $90,000 worth of debt for a state school that she ended up dropping out of. And it was insane because it's like, your parents are also immigrants, you know, but I understand because she was in a vulnerable place. But oftentimes, when you think about the investment that you're putting into a school, it's not just monetary. It's like, what is this going to have? How is this going to impact other areas of my life? And for me, that's the type of thinker that I am. It's like, okay, Cornell or UCLA, like, yeah, that's great on paper, but what is the ROI going to be?
Right. 100%. It's like, don't put your eggs in one basket. Ariane, I want to backtrack. Did I just hear you say you want to go to law school?
Oh, yes.
Hey, that's so exciting. Tell us about it. When are you starting?
Yeah, I'll be starting next year, JD PhD path. I took the LSAT last year. I did fairly well to the point where like a school, a top school at that. So I should be grateful. Gave me, you know, a good amount of money. Told me that I can go. I deferred it. But then I was like, I don't know if this school is the one that I want after I did research. So
That's exciting though. Good for you. What made you want to do that or take that path?
Well, you know, I've always wanted to be a lawyer, and it might sound crazy because it's like this girl is exploring so many career paths, but like, I don't like to lock myself into one path, you know. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to be a lawyer. Like, I remember looking back at my middle school yearbook, and my goal was to be an attorney. I find that every issue that I have is centered within the legal world. My family and, you know, certain housing inequality issues that we faced, immigration issues, social economic disparity in the workplace, everything is centered at the law or in the law world. So it's like, how can I take space in that? And I mean, honestly, my type of law interest has always changed. I used to want to be like a public defender at one point, and now I know that I want to be an employment attorney because of what I do with Revamped, but still explore immigration law, because there's like little caveats and points that trickle down, but I'm so passionate about the legal world.
That's exciting. It's such a busy time for you, and it's so exciting at the same time. I've heard a lot about law school, and I just know that it's a lot of work, and I'm so excited to see this journey on your side. And I think this is a perfect time to pivot into Revamped, like you said, of really what you do and, you know, how you're doing it and working with others, your clients, I would say. I know what Revamped is, but for our listeners, can you just explain, how did you start it? I mean, you said you were doing that while you were in school, so it must have been quite a time, but like, really, how did you get started and what made you start that?
Revamped is a career, workplace, and education consulting firm, really designed to bridge the global talent, skill, and wage gap. That's my overall mission. Now, how did I start? Funny enough, I fell into this, it was really by luck, because I was 17 turning 18. I was a hostess at a high-end restaurant back home. And I remember, like, while going to college, I was like, this can't be all for me. Like, I just can't be doing this for the rest of my life. And there was a guest who was a regular, and we would always talk. He would like care about my aspirations and my goals. And then one day he asked me, he's like, have you ever thought about a career in human resources? And I'm like, no, I haven't. I've heard about what, you know, people do. I see people, HR leaders here do what they do. But he's like, here's my business card. He worked at Fidelity Investments, which was right across the street. And I was like, okay, thanks. Then he comes back the next week. He's like, hey, did you think about what I said to you? And I'm like, no. And honestly, I put it in the back burner. And then I had a really bad day at work that day. So I emailed him. He's like, message this person. There's an HR specialist role, and I want you to interview for it.
Wow.
So I interviewed, I got the job, and it was really interesting, the type of work that I was doing, because I was working with experienced hires, managing directors, so people that had 10 plus years of experience. So we would recruit, the team would recruit and also oversee, you know, their onboarding, I-9, all of that good stuff. And I did that for a year and a half. And then I was like, I love this, but not with the type of demographic that I'm fulfilling or that I'm servicing, I should say. Because during my time, I only helped hire 2 Black people, and that was over a portfolio of like over 90 people. I didn't feel fulfilled. And I was seeing crazy offers like 300, 400, 500K. I come from a low income background. So imagine me seeing these numbers. I'm like, what in the world? So I was like, okay, I have to do something. I have to change the trajectory. And I just decided to bet on myself. I'm like, I know how to beat these algorithms. I know how to write a resume. I know how to prep people for interviews. So I kept that up, invested in myself, you know, by taking courses within relevant, within relevant community or professional development organizations, such as the Society of Human Resource Management, took some courses and just learned all of that. And then I was like, it's time to do my own thing. And I started Revamped literally January 2019.
That's beautiful. What a humble beginning. I think you've really seen it evolve. How do people get in touch with you? Like, what's the process of becoming a client of Revamped and getting to make that salary? Do you help with salary negotiations and stuff as well?
Oh yeah, I help with everything. Anything that involves career development, I consider myself a subject matter expert. Now, in terms of the process, I have a website, revampedbyam.com. It's really, of course, there's, you know, the booking site, but I also write vlogs and really just a one-stop shop. So all somebody has to do is book, add time to my calendar. I'm blessed and humbled to say that I have built a community where people see my worth, that I'm booked out. Like, I think my next booking is like November 5th or something like that. And today is October 12th. So that's far out. And I've really built that all through Twitter, because I've been able to garner a community where I add value, and they also add value to my life. So it's like a symbiotic relationship 105,000 global followers, just putting out content, and people see the worth in that. And it's just so fulfilling.
That must be very fulfilling. When you talk to clients a lot, what are some things that you're seeing becoming a typical myth? And maybe you don't agree with it. Like, oh, should you have an objection or a summary on your resume? What like tricks and tips would you say that you've seen during this experience?
Yeah, something that I've realized first and foremost is your job search is going to go the way that you think it is, because the mind is such a powerful tool that we manifest our reality subconsciously. So oftentimes I've worked with clients who are like crazy, crazy amazing. They'll have, you know, 15 plus years of experience, 5+ years. They know how to code. They know how to do all of that, but they are dealing with imposter syndrome. So that reflects in, you know, sending out too much applications without really being intentful. And that's when I come in and I'm like, okay, let's sit down. Let's debunk these myths that are consuming your reality. Let's really strategize. Because without a strategy, you're not going to accomplish anything that you want to. To be successful, you need a robust, in your career, you need a robust career strategy. And robust doesn't mean like, oh my God, I have to write to 30 people every single day. It simply means like, I have to have these hard conversations with myself. What do I want in my next career? Do I want to prioritize my work-life balance? Do I want, you know, 130K salary? Like, what is it that I want to see come to fruition? And oftentimes that blocker is imposter syndrome, but how can you really fault anybody when we live in a capitalistic society where our worth is inherently tied with our outputs? So on the soft side, or like mental skill set blockers, definitely being your mentality. Now, when it comes to your tools, resume, all of that, it really becomes a thing of like telling your story and painting the narrative that you want on paper. You need to convince somebody else of the worth that you know that you have, which is harder, easier said than done. It is one of the hardest things, because it's like, how the heck can I convince somebody of my worth, especially in the case where I don't even believe that myself? How can I marry the verbiage needed to convince somebody with my experience? So it really becomes like a mathematical equation type of thing, which is why a strategy is important. I don't believe that there's one way to just do something correct, because we are all different. Our career paths look different. So that's why I focus on quality over quantity when taking clients. I only take one client a day. I'm like, and I work with my clients until they either land an interview or land a job, depending on the service that they book. But that's why, to me, a quality strategy is everything. Quality over quantity, by all means.
I think it really speaks for itself when you see your clients sending you their offers, what they're getting, and it's a lot of success. I'm really glad that you've built this clientele, especially over social media. I think people underestimate the value of what social media can do. And it's so exciting to see that you've already, like, you've been in this industry for longer than you think, like even being, like you said, at that 17, 18 year old age, and then landing a job, just being a hostess and meeting people and networking, I think is very, very big in this community and like industry itself and any industry you're in. And I think, you know, going back to humble beginnings, like I started out at Macy's in high school and college, like just being a sales associate and then meeting different people and always asking them like, what did they do for a living?
No, and I love that. You are literally hitting the nail right on the head. I think that's the saying. But it really, people think that networking is like, oh my God, let me go on LinkedIn. And yes, that is one form of networking. But well, the best form of networking to me is when it comes organic. So us being in places like that, it's like, we're not even thinking, what can this person do for me? You're just being value adding to that conversation.
We get that a lot on our podcast. I think there's a lot of people that are, how do I network? How do I just approach someone? And everyone always says it's about who you know. I think there's a lot of misconceptions and sliding into someone's DMs and just saying, hey, I'm interested in applying where you're working. I think it all goes back to the fundamentals. Just like you said, you need a strategy. So it's so important that you're doing that. Can you talk a little bit about if you have any clients in cybersecurity, if you've seen any trends, if you haven't, maybe clients specifically in tech?
My clients that work in tech really range all over. So one thing I always want to differentiate is when I talk to people, it's like, look, you can work in tech, but it doesn't mean that your work will be technical because, you know, you need people that are customer relationship managers. So there's a big difference in like working in tech and working a technical role, which also you can work in tech in a technical role and vice versa. You don't have to work in tech to work a technical role. But I think that lately there's been this large boom for people to want to work in tech, largely accredited to social media.
Yep.
And I love that. I am the biggest fan of that, honestly, especially when it's, you know, women of color, folks that come from marginalized and underserved communities. But I really just want people to be equipped with the right knowledge and resources to make that transition, especially if you don't come from a technical background, which at one point I was there. It's just unfortunate to see oftentimes people that are focused on selling products on social media and experiences, if you will, tell somebody, yeah, you can be a cybersecurity analyst in 2 months. It's like, let's be so realistic. Mm-hmm. You can break in, but what is the longevity when it comes to careers like that? You need something that is sustainable, because it's like, okay, you could master Python, you can master R, you can master how to, you know, build really robust infrastructure, but it's like, how do I equip myself with the adequate amount of knowledge to keep that trajectory when I am in my role? Because at that point, it's no longer how do I get in, how do I stay in? And even beyond that, how do I stay in to go up?
That's very true. It's how do I evolve in this part of my journey or my career itself? What advice do you have for somebody that isn't in tech and trying to really maybe get into it? Even like you said, even if it's not a technical role, right? Like if it's somebody that's just changing their careers, maybe they worked at, I get this a lot, like a different industry, maybe the medical field, maybe financial field, like how do they get into tech and what advice would you have?
So my first thing would be sit down and think, what problem do you want to solve? And it doesn't have to be like, oh my God, I have to be so passionate about this that I want to solve this. If that's the case, great. And if that's not the case, also great, because sometimes you just want to use your expertise to find a role that will pay your bills and afford your lifestyle. So the first question though is, what problem do you want to solve? If you're like, okay, I know that I want to bridge the education gap within a particular community, and I want to do it in a technical space, or I want to use technology to bridge that gap. Looking into ed tech companies could be that. And now you're like at the first layer. You want to keep unlayering the layers that are there. So if you realize I want to work in ed tech, great. What skill set do you have? Do you want to code? If you don't come from a coding background, what courses, what certificates can you take? And really taking the means that'll get you to that end. So again, like I said, it's really all about strategy, and you have to think bigger picture. And bigger picture doesn't mean like 5-10 years. Bigger picture could be from now to a year and a half. What does your reality, your desired reality, look like a year from today?
That's good advice. I think I can really relate to that. That's amazing that, you know, we bring up the part of thinking holistic and like thinking a bigger picture. And I think a lot of people fast forward, just like you said, 5-10 years. If there was something that you could have told your younger self about what you're doing now today, what would that be? And I know that's heavy loaded.
No, that's a great question. Something that I would tell my younger self is always show up as your most authentic self. There will be times where you'll enter rooms that aren't inherently designed for you, just due to the nature of social inequality, the way America is in certain spaces. But that doesn't mean that you have to alter how you speak or change how you look. You are enough as is. Show up as who you are, explore all of your curiosities, because the right people are always going to notice.
I love that. I think I needed that when I was little too. What can our listeners look forward to with your future and your career and your role itself? And I knew that this is new to you, the career you're in. So what things are you looking forward to?
Yeah, so honestly, I've come to the realization, and I've had these talks with mentors and leaders, finance is definitely not the world for me, but that's okay. I'm really passionate about education, the law, bridging the global talent, skill, and wage gap. So in terms of my next endeavors, I will be pursuing my JD, PhD, and I'll be growing Revamped right after I finish my PhD program. My goal is to expand my company, have at least 50 employees, and really divide my business into a different model. And by that, I mean, I want to continue what I'm doing with my clients one-on-one, but I also want to utilize everything that I've learned, so that be strategy, technology, and the law, to offer different pillars to corporate clients, which I do a little bit of now. Like I've been working with Uber, EA Sports, and Google to help them refine their Black talent acquisition pipeline. And I want to keep doing that, but at a larger level. So not only just, you know, from these employee resource groups and something that's micro, I want to do it macro. So take that at the organizational level for these Fortune 500 companies. And I'm always dabbling into entrepreneurship. I'm actually working on another business right now, launching in 2024. It'll be a stationery brand designed with the intention to make the art of planning be sustainable. Because I know I buy planners and I'm like, okay, girl, I'm going to jot down something and never pick it up again. So I'm working with psychologists right now to find ways to develop a product that'll make people excited about that. But those are really the biggest things that I'm passionate about at the moment. And I hope that God wills that to come to fruition.
I love that. And I hope the best for you too. It's amazing to be very blessed and to have different talents. I think it's a privilege to be able to have the abilities that we have nowadays in our time, in our lives, to be able to work and serve the community. And I applaud you. I think it's beautiful that, you know, you're really giving back to the community, but you're not only giving back, but you're teaching everyone, right? I think you said that you love teaching is a passion truly, and the law. So I can see this becoming very, very impactful. And I honestly can't wait to see what else you have in store. And we'll probably get you back on here for next year to talk about your new entrepreneurship.
Oh, and I'm always down to talk, but I also want to give you your flowers as well. I mean, what you're doing is amazing. You're literally bridging a gap. There's not many women in cybersecurity alone, just women in tech. And you're creating space, really reaffirming to women like, hey, you can and you will do this. Like, that is such a badass thing. So you deserve your flowers as well.
Thank you, Ariane. Well, it was so, so good having you on. And I will link everything associated to you in the comments and the bio. And you can let our listeners know where they can reach out to you.
So Twitter is always booming, and that'll be at Revamped, RevampedCP. That's if you're looking for daily remote jobs. I do post a lot of cybersecurity jobs that are all remote, tips, tricks, all that good stuff. The Instagram for Revamped would be at re.vampped. So I hope I didn't butcher that, but I will send you the link to all of that. And then if anybody wants to connect with me personally, my at name is just at @ArianyNNNYY_Ariani on all platforms.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much, Ariani.
Thank you.